But even as those inside the city trembled, on the other side of the ditch, the Quraysh were becoming exhausted. They had inadequate provisions, and their inexperience in military affairs meant that they were easily demoralized by a sudden reversal. Their resolve finally snapped when a violent rainstorm devastated their camp. Abu Sufyan recognized defeat. Horses and camels were dying, the Quraysh had failed to deliver, and his troops had no tents, fires or cooking pots. "Be off," he announced to his men, "for I am going." When the Muslims peered over the escarpment the next morning, the plain was completely deserted. But what was Muhammad to do about Quraysh? The departure of the Quraysh had not weakened the bitter opposition to his leadership within Medina. His opponents were convinced that the Meccans would return in the not-too-distant future and wreak terrible vengeance for their humiliation. So they intensified their campaign against him. The settlement was on the brink of civil war, and in this explosive climate, the Quraysh could not remain unpunished. The day after the departure of the Meccan army, Muhammad's troops surrounded the fortress of Quraysh, who asked that they be permitted to leave on the same terms as Qaynuqa and Nadir. But this time, Muhammad refused. Nadir had proved to be just as dangerous to the Ummah in exile. The elders of Quraysh agreed to accept the arbitration of their former ally, Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, who had been severely wounded during the siege, and was carried to the Quraysh village on a litter. Even though some of the other tribes asked him to be merciful, Sa'd believed that the Quraysh were an unacceptable security risk and made the conventional judgment. All 700 men of the tribe should be executed, their wives and children sold into slavery, and their property divided among the Muslims. When he heard the verdict, Muhammad is reported to have cried, "You have judged according to the ruling of Allah, above the seven skies." The next day, the sentence was carried out. Revolting as it seems to us today, almost everybody in Arabia would have expected Sa'd's judgment. According to the texts, not even the Quraysh were surprised by the decision. The execution sent a grim message to the Jews of Khaybar, and the Bedouin would have noted that Muhammad did not shrink from retaliation. He had staged a defiant show of strength, which, it was hoped, would bring the conflict to an end. Change was coming to this desperate, primitive society, but for the time being, violence and killing on this scale were the norm. Nevertheless, the incident marks the nadir of Muhammad's career. It is, however, important to note that the Quraysh were not killed on religious or racial grounds. None of the other Jewish tribes in the oasis either objected or attempted to intervene, clearly regarding it as a purely political and tribal matter. A significant number of the Arab tribe of Kilab, the clients of Quraysh, were also executed alongside the Jews. Muhammad had no ideological quarrel with the Jewish people. He once said, "He who wrongs or destroys a Jew or a Christian will have me to answer to on the day of judgment." The men of Quraysh were executed for treason. The 17 other Jewish tribes of Medina remained in the oasis, living on friendly terms with the Muslims for many years, and the Quran continued to insist that Muslims remember their spiritual kinship with the people of the book.